Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Dear brothers and sisters, welcome to Light Upon Light. We would like to congratulate you on the birthday of our beloved Imam, the 11th Imam, Imam Hassan al-Askari alayhi salam. And with me today to talk about this holy anniversary is my brother Sheikh Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. How are you doing, brother?
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Thank you very much for having me. Alhamdulillah that we've been alive to feel again these lovely days and to be able to talk about Imam Askari salawatullah alayhi.
Thank you for coming, my brother.
Thank you.
Now, the 11th Imam alayhi salam, and he lived in a very, very hard situations, as
yes.
we know, and he's the father of our 12th Imam. What else do you have for us to talk about?
Well, the life of Imam Askari salawatullah alayhi is a strange life. When you go and study the history to see what has been narrated about Imam Askari salawatullah alayhi and how was the whole situation, the circumstances around the life of Imam alayhi salam, you become more and more familiar with the fact that with the last Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, the situation of their lives, the difficulty and the hardships that they were about to face and encounter became much more severe and hard to tolerate. For instance, we see that after the time of Imam Baqir and Imam Sadiq salawatullah alayhima, which was simply a good time, a good place and opportunity for them to talk about the Sharia, to spread the word of Allah.
Because of the revolt against the Umayyads
and
the beginning of the Abbasid
The change
Khalifa.
Of power, yes. It was the period of time the power was being changed. So it was a good opportunity. But after that, from the life of Imam Kazim alayhi salam, after that Imam Reza salawatullah alayhi, we see that Bani Abbas la'natullah alayhim, they saw and felt that the power of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam was growing so much. People had a lot of tendency and
popularity
love.
Was increasing.
Yes. And that popularity was absolutely a problem in their face and opposing their usurping rule that they had. So they forcibly, for example, moved Imam Reza salawatullah alayhi from Medina to Khorasan, right? After that, Imam Jawad alayhi salam too. And we see that from the early lives, from the childhood of Imam Askari salawatullah alayhi, Imam is in Samarra, as his father was moved to Samarra. Now, not like a normal place that the government has eyes on them, has, you know, spies on them, like in a military stronghold.
So Samarra was pretty much the military stronghold that the Abbasid Khalifa
had. And they moved Imam alayhi salam into that stronghold, a place completely protected and a place completely observed by a lot of eyes. So they wanted to make sure that Imam alayhi salam doesn't do anything that goes, you know, the opposite way of their favor. So from the beginning days, the life of Imam alayhi salam was that much difficult. For example, there's a narration. Ali ibn Ja'far says that we were waiting for Imam alayhi salam. One day Imam was going to step out from his place to go to the government office. We wanted to see Imam alayhi salam. We wanted to talk to him because, you know, imagining that situation, it's so difficult. So finding an opportunity to see your Imam, to talk to him, it's so relieving and lovely. But before Imam alayhi salam comes out, a letter came to us. And Imam alayhi salam said in that letter that, do not say hello to me. Do not point to me even with your fingers. And do not do anything that implies your connection and your love to me, because you are not safe here. So he says that Imam alayhi salam stepped out and we didn't do anything. So see how difficult is it that even saying hi to Imam alayhi salam, which shows a little bit of connection between the two, can be a death penalty for a person in that area.
To emphasize the idea more, I think there's this narration that was stated by one of the companions of Imam al-Askar alayhi salam, where he stated that he ordered us to not even say salam to him while he's walking in the streets.
Yes.
And just to act like he's a stranger to them and that they don't know who he is actually. And that was just out of the fear that the Shias, the companions of the Imam, and the Imam had of the Abbasi Khalifa.
Of the rule of the government at that time. So in this situation that we described a little bit, how can Imam alayhi salam have connection and how can Imam keep the contact with the Shia, with the world? How can Imam alayhi salam do the responsibilities which God has put on his shoulders? Well, we've talked about this before. The agency that Imam Qasim alayhi salam started also continued to the life of Imam Askari alayhi salam. So Imam alayhi salam, through this agency, through many people and officers that Imam alayhi salam assigned for different purposes and sent to different cities and countries to do Imam's bidding. So Imam Askari alayhi salam used this agency for a couple of purposes. The first purpose, which is clear, is to have a connection with the followers of Imam alayhi salam, because they needed to know the word of Imam, what are the responsibilities they have. Many questions and also many monetary affairs came to the way of Imam alayhi salam, like khums, for example, as we have in our religion. So Imam alayhi salam had to manage them, had to handle them. So through this office and through this agency, Imam alayhi salam was able to do so much. In different cities, we see in the history that different people were assigned.
I was just thinking about this idea of the agency. I think that really did help the Shia, the Shia at the time, to get used to not seeing the Imam.
Yes.
And that pretty much helped out his son, Imam al-Mahdi, ajallallahu ta'ala.
Yes, very well said. Absolutely. Especially for Imam Askari alayhi salam, because Imam alayhi salam knew that after him, his son is going to not live a normal life of Imam. So Imam alayhi salam prepared people and the followers and the Shia much more for this kind of indirect relationship between themselves and Imam alayhi salam.
Thank you very much, Sheikh. We unfortunately have to take a short break. Dear brothers and sisters, please stay tuned. We will continue our conversation about Imam al-Askari's life and the way that he was living in hardship. Thank you very much.
The 11th Shia leader, Imam Hassan ibn Ali, also known as Hassan al-Askari, was born in Holy Medina on 10th of Rabi' al-Thani, 232 after Hijra. Imam Hassan al-Askari accompanied his father, Imam Hadi, to Samarra and lived his entire life in this city. The strict supervision of the Abbasid caliphs had made it hard for the Shia Muslims to communicate with their leader, Imam Hassan al-Askari. Mostly, it was Uthman ibn Sa'id, a deputy and trusted companion of Imam Hassan al-Askari, who could communicate with this holy Imam. Although a young boy, Imam Hassan al-Askari was widely respected by the people in Samarra due to his great morals and scientific position. However, the popularity of Imam Hassan al-Askari had made the Abbasid rulers anxious and worried. In the time of Imam Hassan al-Askari, the Shia Muslims lived in different parts of the world, but the city of Qom remained one of the most important hubs for Shia Islam. Under the constant watchful eyes of the Abbasid caliphs, Imam Hassan al-Askari managed to educate some talented students. These students were later known as great Shia scholars and scientists, who left a bulk of valuable books and publications for the next generations. The one and only offspring of Imam Hassan al-Askari was the long-awaited savior of humankind, Imam al-Mahdi. The Abbasid Caliphate was extremely vigilant to stop the birth of the 12th Imam. They were well aware that the son of Imam Hassan al-Askari will be the person who shall destroy the foundations of the oppression and tyranny. Therefore, Imam Hassan al-Askari concealed the birth of his son, who was only introduced to a close circle of Shia Muslim scholars. While uninformed of the existence of Imam al-Mahdi, the Abbasid Caliph decided to prevent the birth of the 12th Imam and poisoned Imam Hassan al-Askari on 8th of Rabi'ul Awwal, 260 after Hijra. The enemies of the Prophet's household held a deep grudge from Imam al-Hassan al-Askari. The Wahhabis have so far bombed the shrine of this holy Imam in Samarra for twice. The first bombing took place in February 22, 2006, and the second bombing happened on June 13, 2007. Many other bombing attacks have also targeted the pilgrims of this holy Imam.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you guys for joining us again. We were with Sheikh Muhammad talking about Imam al-Askari alayhi salam, as it's the anniversary of his birthday. And Sheikh, you were talking about the hardship that he was living by the tyrant rulers of his time. and the way that even his companions couldn't have normal conversations with him, or they couldn't even show that they know him or they had a connection with him.
Yes. So talking about that, we came to the fact that not only was it so difficult for Imam alayhi salam to live in that situation, but also to do the responsibilities, and also one very particular thing, which was making the followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam ready for his son, Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam. So especially talking about this, I think it is very important, because Imam Askari salawatullah alayhi had a very special relationship with his son. And also, some of the very close companions of Imam alayhi salam had this chance to see the son of the last Imam, the 12th Imam, the son of Imam Askari salawatullah alayhi. And through these kind of visits, and through some of the letters that were sent from Imam alayhi salam to the followers, to the companions, Imam alayhi salam step by step talked more about his son, about the difficult things that are going to happen to his son afterwards, about the...
It was just to put it out there clear that I do have a son, because I think that, this connection that they had with the Imam, some might think that he didn't have a son.
Yes. So because Shia was used to the fact that first we have 12 Imams, because of many narrations from Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, starting from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. So Shia was always looking after the martyrdom of one Imam. Who is the next Imam? Is it like the oldest son? Is it the other son? And yes, alike with the life of Imam Askari alayhi salam, Shia was looking for the last Imam. So those who were close, for example, like Ahmad ibn Ishaq, which was one of the agents of Imam alayhi salam in Qom, right?
And some of those companions as well lived after Imam al-Askar alayhi salam and lived throughout the beginning of the first disappearance, the short disappearance of Imam al-Mahdi, such as the first agent of the Imam, as-Saman, him and his son, of course.
Yes, and these close companions of Imam alayhi salam, they had the opportunity to talk to Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam, and also take some of the answer of some of the most difficult questions and become familiar with the 12th Imam. So Imam Askari alayhi salam, for example, Ahmad ibn Ishaq comes from Qom as a regular trip from Qom to Samarra to take the monetary affairs and also the questions.
It's a long trip from Qom to Samarra.
But when you are the agent of Imam and when you are going to see Imam alayhi salam, that long trip becomes very
sweet,
short and sweet for you, yes. So Ahmad ibn Ishaq, for example, comes and wants to give all of the khums and wujuhat to Imam alayhi salam. But this time, which is the last trip of Ahmad ibn Ishaq, but he doesn't know himself. Imam alayhi salam refers to his son. He says, go to that room, you see my son, talk to him. He is your Imam, give the monetary affairs and whatever question you have, you know, express in that room. So Ahmad ibn Ishaq goes, and before opening any of those boxes of money, Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam starts to describe them. For example, this pocket has this much money in it, it is for that person, for this purpose, and go on and go forth. One more thing is the fact that Imam alayhi salam, through some narrations to the companions, talked about the standing of his son, about the special standing of his son among Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, and especially in the time of disappearance. For example, some of the narrations that act as a criterion for us. Imam Askari alayhi salam, for instance, tells his son, Ya Bunayya, إِنَّ قُلُوبَ أَهْلِ الطَّاعَةِ نُزَّعُنْ إِلَيْكَ. I just say a little bit of the narration and then I translate to talk more about that. So Imam Askari alayhi salam tells Imam Mahdi salawatullah alayhi that the hearts of the followers, the hearts of the Shia, it flies to you like
a
bird.
To
yes.
You, yeah.
It has so much tendency and inclination towards you that it's like it flies to you like a bird wants to fly and get to its nest.
So it's just like, it's like homesick.
Yes.
Like how the bird becomes homesick and wants to go back to its nest.
Yes.
The hearts of the believers as well.
The hearts of the believers, the hearts of Ahlul Ta'at, the hearts of anyone that is obeying God, right, is worshipping God. And these kind of narrations and these kind of words by Imam Askari alayhi salam, it tells us, gives us something to check ourselves with. So if I love Imam alayhi salam, if I count myself as a Shia, as a believer, as a follower of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, if I count myself as a Muslim, as somebody who worships God, I should check the relationship that my heart has
towards Imam alayhi salam.
How do I love Imam Zaman salawatullah alayhi? And through these narrations, which it was merely one of them, Imam alayhi salam carved a very big standing, a special place and a status for his son, especially for the Shia and the followers and the Muslims to know him and follow his words.
Thank you very much, Sheikhna. Unfortunately, our time has finished today. And that was very well put. Thank you very much, Sheikhna.
You're welcome.
Dear brothers and sisters, unfortunately, our time today has finished. We hope you enjoy your day. And till another Light Upon Light, another show, please join us again. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.